Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about equality. Equality is not a Christian ideal. Some years ago, I came across a tongue-in-cheek editorial in Time magazine about an incident which had actually taken place in New York City. Women had been protesting for equal rights with fire persons. These women were determined to prove that they could do just what fire men had always done, and they were going to be fire persons. So, after resisting this onslaught for as long as they possibly could, the fire department decided, okay, they want to be equal, we'll give them a try. And so they gave them an equal try. They gave them the same test that they gave to fire men. Well, 80 women showed up to take that test, and 80 women did all the exercises and the climbing ladders and the who knows what all that they had to do to prove their pure muscular strength. And guess how many flunked? You guessed it, 80. 80 women took the test, 80 women flunked. Well, predictably, what did they conclude? Not, I guess it's a little tougher to be a fireman than I thought it was. No, they concluded that the test was sexist. And they protested that the test had been stacked in favor of men, and they demanded a test which would be possible for them to pass. The awful truth, which they would never articulate and never admit, was simply the fact that women are not created with the same kind of upper body strength. And one of the items on the test was that they must be able to carry a 140-pound person down a 2- or 3-story ladder. And they were not able to do that. So, in the end, the writer of this article said that they were permitted to carry 2 70-pound people down the ladder in 2 trips. And so his conclusion, the essayist's conclusion, was, well, from now on, all the fires in my house are going to be on the first floor near the door. This incident is simply one of thousands of illustrations, which most of us could think of, I suppose, that have come out of what is called a feminist movement. Many of the feminists have been determined to prove that men and women are equal. Does it make sense to say that T-bone steaks and Bartlett pears are equal? The comparison would hardly be fair. If I were to judge the Bartlett pears by the standards of a T-bone steak, the Bartlett pears would certainly flunk, and if I were to do it the other way around, then the steaks would flunk, wouldn't they? We might say that they're equal in both being foods that we can eat, but unless you are defining exactly what you mean when you use this word equality, it really is not a very helpful or a very useful term. In our Constitution, we recognize that men must be treated equally. But we're dealing with a political realm, and politics really ought not to have a place in our homes or by any means in all areas of society. It's not incumbent upon us women to prove that we can do what any man can do. Some women would like to say, anything a man can do, I can do better. I suppose most of us know women who can change tires better than some men. I know some men who can change diapers better than some women. But what does that prove? It just proves that there are exceptional men and exceptional women and exceptions to every rule. I have a friend who's a doctor in California, and she was telling me about some interesting experiments that had been made on 18-month-old children who had not really had the opportunity to be socially conditioned. Some women have told us that the differences between masculine and feminine are mere matters of social conditioning. But a doctor in California told me that 18-month-old children were put through an experiment which indicated that there is a great deal of difference between males and females that has nothing whatsoever to do with social conditioning. And she told me how they took these children and put them in a room with different kinds of toys, and they watched what those children did with the toys. It was not all the girls that chose dolls, and it wasn't just the boys who chose trucks and cars to play with. But it was very interesting to notice that they did different things with the toys. They might choose the same toy, for example, a little plastic lawnmower. Some of the girls chose that, and some of the boys chose that. But when the boys chose the lawnmower, they mowed other toys. They were aggressive and destructive in ways that the girls were not. A second part of that experiment was to put a barrier down the middle of the room over which the children could look but could not climb. And they put the children on one side and the mothers on the other. It was interesting that the little girls went immediately to the middle of the barrier and cried. The little boys went to the middle of the barrier, recognized that they could not get over it to their mothers, and began looking for ways to get around it. There are differences between males and females, between boys and girls. And equality is not by any means God's ideal for all of us under all circumstances. In fact, I find in the whole of the Bible a beautiful arrangement which we could call hierarchy. An arrangement going from superior to inferior. We need to point out that the word inferior simply means lower down in a scale, maybe lower down on a stadium. If you get the $50 seat, it might be higher up in the stadium or it might be lower down, depending on whether you want to be close to the 50-yard line at a football game or higher up where you can see the whole of the field a little bit better. But the words superior and inferior in their original form simply mean higher and lower, not worth more or worth less. But in this divine hierarchy, we can see that God is at the top, and then according to Scripture, it seems that we have cherubim and seraphim, and under the seraphim, the archangels, and under the archangels, the angels. And then the Bible clearly says that man was made a little lower than the angels. In fact, when Jesus himself became a man, he became lower than the angels. Clearly, the Bible is not telling us that Jesus was worth less than an angel. He was God. There is no question about that. But underneath the angels are men, and under men, in subjection to men, are the animals. In the first chapter of Genesis, we find that God commanded Adam to have dominion over the beasts of the field and the fish in the sea and the birds of the air. As far as we know, there are only two orders of being who have ever quarreled with God about the position in which he has placed them in his universe. And those two orders are angelic and human. In the book of Jude, we find that there were certain angels who protested about the position that they had been assigned, and they had to be cast down out of heaven and held in chains for punishment. Then we find in the third chapter of Genesis that the human beings which God had created also protested against the order in which God had placed them and decided that they didn't want to be merely human, they wanted to be divine. Do you remember that the serpent came into the garden, suggested to Eve that God was lying to her, and said, "If you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die"? And the serpent said, "Did God say that? You not only won't die, but you can be like gods." In other words, what Satan was really saying to Eve was, "You can upgrade your lifestyle." And Eve was enticed by that. as you and I are often easily enticed by any temptation to upgrade our lifestyle, let's remember that God has put us in a place which is appropriate to the job that He wants us to do. The first protest for equality as such occurs quite early in the Bible, in the book of Numbers. There was a man named Korah who came along with some malcontents and challenged the authority of Moses. He and this crowd of 250 Israelites, men of rank in the community, it says, conveners of the assembly and men of good standing, they confronted Moses and Aaron and said to them, in effect, "Who do you think you are?" And Moses was godly enough and wise enough not to get into an argument with those men. When he heard this, he prostrated himself, and he said to Korah and his company, "Tomorrow morning, the Lord shall declare who is His, who is holy, and who may present offerings to Him. The man whom the Lord chooses shall present them." And so they came the next morning, and the story is that the ground opened up and swallowed Korah and his family. A fairly graphic and powerful proof that God was not aiming at equality. There had to be authority. There had to be a hierarchy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. This is Joy Rayleigh, inviting you back for more encouragement and challenge with Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Thank you.